This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour one on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Everybody's here, including Fritzy. Come on in and play in the sandbox with us. Coming up a little bit, we'll talk to the actor-comedian Kevin James. Got a new stand-up special. Mark Sanchez, Fox Sports, former NFL quarterback, will stop by as well. Say good morning. Good morning if you're watching on Peacock. Thank you for downloading the app. That's our streaming partner. You can watch all 3 hours if you would like to. You don't have to, but if you do, you're a shut-in. You can't get up off the couch, can't change the channel. We're glad to have you. 877-3DP-SHOW email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. Hottest rookies, biggest superstars, the all-time greats. Only one place to collect them all. Panini trading cards. You got the instant classics, autograph cards, memorabilia cards, rare inserts, and more. Start or continue your collection now at PaniniAmerica.net. Seton will provide a poll question or two throughout the day. Tyler standing by for your phone calls, 877-3DP-SHOW. The Titans have hired Bengals offensive coordinator Brian Callahan. Okay.
Let's go.
The situation was ownership didn't want Mike Vrabel. I don't know if they said, we don't want Mike Vrabel and we know exactly what we're going to do. We're going to hire Brian Callahan. Now, Brian Callahan has done a great job. Got the Bengals to the Super Bowl. He's been there a while. Not a household name. Not on the coaching carousel where you say we got to get one of those guys. But Brian Callahan is the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. And that's good news for Will Levis, the quarterback there. Tried to develop him, maybe the way they did Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. Bill Callahan, that's his father, Bill Callahan, former coach, offensive or defensive coach, I believe, and was with the Raiders for a long time, Nebraska as well. So Brian Callahan is the head coach of the Titans. By the way, I did not know this. I did not know that the Las Vegas Raiders officially announced Antonio Pierce as their head coach. Now, I'm not surprised they did. I'm surprised when they did it. They announced it at 4:15 Eastern on a Friday. That's not when you celebrate something like that, and it's a playoff weekend. How about you introduce him today? You make the announcement today. Big press conference. Antonio Pierce. Players love him. Everybody comes in. Max Crosby. They're all there. 4:15 on a Friday. Because Paulie goes, oh, well, so the Raiders got their coach. Titans got their coach. I said, yeah, well, the Raiders are going to hire Antonio Pierce. And he goes, no, 4:15 Eastern. Now, is it officially official with the Raiders that Antonio Pierce is the head coach? And so I'd be curious about. But it's on their website. They announced it at 4:15 Eastern on a Friday. That's not exactly shouting from the mountaintop. Usually that's where you go to hide. It's called a news dump. That's usually Friday at 5. Like, they at least gave us 45 minutes of possibly being able to process this. If they would have done it at, like, 5:05, it would have been like, you don't want anybody to know about this? Yes, Paul.
Especially a move that everyone agrees with in the public, in the sports media. Everyone thinks this is the right move. Everyone thinks this is a smart move. This is a decision that's going to be embraced by the sports media, I would think.
Well, the Raiders, the players wanted Antonio Pierce. I was just surprised that it's, you kind of buried the lead there if you're the Raiders. All right, Seton, what's poll question?
Oh, we're very happy about the hire. Yes, we're very proud.
What are we looking at poll question-wise? Then we'll get into the NBA here with some big nights last night, big games last night, and it's a good thing that there wasn't playoff football last night as there was the previous Monday, because we probably wouldn't be talking about Joel Embiid and Karl Anthony Towns. All right, Seton, what's the poll question today?
Yeah, I think we'll start with the NBA, Dan.
Okay.
Would you rather score 70 points in a game or lead the NBA in scoring for a season?
I'd rather lead the NBA in scoring for a season.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's going to do both. So Joel Embiid put up 70 last night against the Spurs, and he's leading the NBA in scoring.
What about if you change it to 81 points in a game?
Or lead the league in scoring?
Or lead the league in scoring.
Oh, man.
Did Kobe lead the league in scoring when he scored 81? I don't know if he did. But it was also the anniversary of that. So Monday was, let's see, the anniversary when Kobe scored 81 points against Toronto?
Twas.
Joel Embiid talked about the anniversary that Kobe scores 81 and what it meant to him.
You know, from the time I started playing, Kobe was my guy. He's the reason why I started playing basketball. And it's funny because on the same night he had 81, and you know, that was my favorite player. So, you know, when I started, that was the guys that I was looking, you know, I was looking up to, and you know, they were doing all this. So, you know, if he says it's inspiring, I hope, you know, in a couple of years, hopefully when I don't have to guard him and I'm out of the league, he's able to do the same thing and, you know, go out and break all these records and possibly break Wilt's record of 100 points.
Okay. So he's giving a shout-out to Victor Wembanyama. And Greg Popovich was having some fun, and he kind of said, you know, we're going to shut down Joel Embiid going into the game. And I think people took it as, you know, Pop is actually giving bulletin board material. And he wasn't. I think he realized this isn't going to be pretty, certainly for Victor Wembanyama. But Joel Embiid is on a different level right now, certainly when it comes to scoring. Did Kobe lead the league in scoring when he scored 81?
Yeah, he did by a lot. It was 05-06 season. Kobe was 27 years old, 80 games that year. He averaged 35.4. Okay. He was taking 27 shots a game.
What's Embiid averaging now? Because I thought it was around 33 or 34. I don't know how much he went up by, you know, scoring 70.
Oh, he went up all right. He's at right now 36.1.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. Yes, Marvin.
36. That is insane. Yesterday, his level of skill is so ridiculous. I mean, it was jab step, jumper. It wasn't like Shaq in 2000 where it was just like, let me just big body these guys. It was pump fake, two dribbles, jumper.
But this is where you have really good footwork. That's something that you see. Like, he's a bigger version of Elijah One from the standpoint of getting at the foul line. Foul line extended. He's got more range because he's asked to have more range. Today's player has more range. But Elijah One at the, you know, top of the key, jab step, go right by you or hit that jumper. But Joel Embiid, highly skilled. And you know, let's go back to when he was leaving Kansas, had the back injury. He missed basically 2 years. And, you know, he had foot injury there. So back and foot injuries. And for a big man, you know, that's death to your career. And, you know, when they were doing the whole process there, people were wondering if Joel Embiid was a bust. Not anymore. Putting up 70. Karl Anthony Towns picked the wrong night to put up 62. And they lose the game. And part of the reason that they lost is because of Carl Anthony Towns.
That takes us to one of our other poll question options, Dan. If you score 62 points but your team loses, did you help or hurt?
It seems mind-boggling that you're going to go, hey, you're part of the reason why your team lost last night, even though you scored 62. He had 44 in the first half, but in the final, whatever, 8 or 9 minutes, he is doing his best to get to whatever he wanted to get to, and he didn't do a good job. The Minnesota Timberwolves head coach, in case you don't know, is Chris Finch, and he had this to say after the loss.
Now, obviously, we're going to try to feed a hot hand, look for a hot hand. But at some point, we got to get back to making the right play. We got to get back to doing the right things. You know, that's just, like I said, there's a lot of ways to be immature. There's always a lot of ways to be immature. And there was a lot of immature performances here throughout the roster. We totally disrespected the game, ourselves. And we got exactly what we deserve. So.
Wow.
Dang.
Whoa. Wow. Okay. They disrespected the game. Well, you can feed the hot hand, but when the hot hand is cooling off, you have to understand that. You can get him to a milestone there, but that was hurting you in trying to win the game because Carl Anthony Towns looked spent last night. You know, halfway through the fourth quarter, and he wanted the ball, and he was forcing shots, and ended up losing that game. I don't know how many guys have lost a game when they've scored at least 60 points. Maybe we should look at that. Yeah, Marv.
I know one for certain. His Kentucky teammate, Devin Booker.
When he put up 70?
Put up 70. They lost to the Celtics. And I was like, but Calipari's going to say, how much money did he make for that game?
Oh, I know. Every time somebody from Kentucky does something incredible, I always go, how many titles did they win? How many titles has John won with all this talent that's made billions of dollars in the NBA? One. Yes, Todd.
That disrespecting the game helped the Hornets get to double-digit wins. They are now 10-31.
Yes, Paul. Whoa!
Ow! Stat of the day. This is the stat of the day.
Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Also, when you're putting up 70 points, how many three-pointers did you have? Three-point line came in 1979. Dame Lillard had 71 points. He had 13 threes. Kobe, when he had 81, had 7 threes. Donovan Mitchell, when he scored 71, had 7 threes. Devin Booker, when he scored 70, had 4 three-pointers. Joel Embiid, 70 points, 1 three-pointer. David Robinson, he had 71 points, 1 three-pointer. Yeah, Pauline.
Most points scored in a loss. Wilt Chamberlain's got a bunch of these records. Wilt had 78 in a loss.
Okay.
David Thompson, you remember him from the Denver Nuggets, he had 73 in a loss. Modern era, Devin Booker had 70 in a loss. there's a lot of Wilt Chamberlain on here. Michael Jordan, perhaps
you've heard of him.
Yeah, 64. This can't be right.
Overrated.
I don't recall him losing a game. Michael Jordan had 64 in a loss.
He never missed a big shot.
I can find. Yeah. Michael Jordan had 64 in a loss to the Magic in overtime.
Mm.
And Michael Jordan had 63 in a loss to the Celtics.
Oh, Gunner.
Remember, double overtime.
Gunner. Yeah, why don't you pass the ball around a little bit, Mike?
Carl Anthony Towns the newest to this.
Yay, congratulations. Come on down. Yes, Marv.
Sorry, everybody, but not to do this, but to do this. Michael Jordan, no one ever brings up that he lost a 63-point game to the Celtics. It's, man, he put up 63. But if there was another player, I'm not going to say who, and he put up that, but they lost.
Okay.
That never happens with Michael Jordan.
Okay, but that's a young Mike. He wasn't even supposed to play that season, foot injury.
Poking the bear, Marv.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying.
Okay.
If it was another player, and I'm not going to say who.
No, you can say who.
Devin Booker not playing. LeBron?
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
But, you know, Mike was out, broken foot, came back, did what he did in the Garden. You know, Celtics were unbelievable that year. So I'm going to give Mike the benefit of the doubt there that he put up 63, dominated, and yes, they did lose. But you're right. If LeBron put up 63 and they lost a playoff game, then we'd be like, oh, why aren't you going to pass it, LeBron? Yes, Mark.
Yeah, I'm with you. You and Paulie are correct on all of it. I'm just saying if that was the other way around, it would have never been like that.
Yeah, probably so. Probably so.
But Carl Anthony Towns, go ahead.
Yeah. Keep shooting. Keep shooting. Seton, so what's the poll question we're going to go with? Or do you have more options that you want to throw our way?
There's another one there that says, if you scored 62 points but your team loses, did you have a good night?
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Did he have a good night?
It's a very complicated 62 points.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he had a good night.
I don't know if he did either.
He had a great three quarters of a night.
Mm.
He did not have a good fourth quarter. And as a result, they ended up losing the game.
Yeah.
Yes, Marv.
Does it also hurt that he lost to the Hornets? Right?
That's unfortunate.
If he lost to the Bucks, to me, there wouldn't really be any shame in that. If he went...
Well, if he had 62 against Giannis.
Right, exactly.
Then we'd be like, man, he did his part there.
But he did that against PJ Washington. Yeah. No disrespect, PJ.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll settle on our poll question. Phone calls are always welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. The actor-comedian, Kevin James. I think we've been in five or six movies together. Mark Sanchez will stop by as well. We're back after this. Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. It would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events... You'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike, and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time, so saddle up for all the action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses. Then watch the races live right there on the app. Download the DK Horse app now. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with the code DP. Only on the DK Horse app.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states to open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at dkhorse.com.
He's Kevin James, actor-comedian. He's got a comedy special, Irregardless, premieres today on Amazon. His Owls Don't Walk tour begins February 3rd. Tickets available at kevinjames.com. So you're joining us from Kelly Clarkson's studio, and then you're going to go on her show?
Yes. I'm backstage now. I'm in one of the dressing rooms here.
You ever been in a bad green room?
I've been in a very few good ones. Yeah, but most of the ones, a lot of the ones on the, you know, these beautiful theaters you play, you know, when you're doing stand-up, They're over 100 years old, and the I think the green rooms are 150 years old. They're tiny little, you know, they're tough. They're pretty tough, but this one's actually pretty nice. It's not too bad.
Now, do you have things in your rider when you do your stand-up special? You go city to city. Any demands there that might surprise us?
Yeah, it's not crazy like you'd think. It's just I just think coffee or something like that. Literally nothing. I'm pretty easy. We bring stuff, you know. My diet changes every 3 minutes, so you know. I'm into agave and now I'm not. Now honey, you can't have honey, and now so it's like we just bring our own, whatever it is I'm trying to do, whatever wave I'm trying to catch to get in shape next.
I was wondering, when you did cameos on Everybody Loves Raymond, right? Mm-hmm. Now, did that lead to King of Queens?
No, it helped.
Not connected
in that way. No, I had a development deal at NBC, and we were developing the show. But what really helped me solidify it, I was at NBC then when we were starting the process. They passed on the show, The King of Queens. But because Ray invited me to write an episode with him, we wrote one on golf. That was the one that I was able to write and get in on, and CBS saw it and said that they were okay giving me my own show. So it helped. He was such a big help in all that.
When you do stand up and you go out and test this material, I'm assuming you go out to smaller clubs and test, but if it doesn't go well, is the joke removed or rewritten?
It depends. I mean, it depends on, you know, I will, you know, sometimes I'll force things and I'll be like, nope, this is funny. That audience was not great and I'm going to try it again. And sometimes they prove me wrong where I'm like, oof, I've tried so many times. It's just a pain in the ass to get this thing going and it's just not working. So, you know, I'm pretty good at knowing I think this is going to work for me. But I've written bits like way too long, you know, and done the whole thing. And it ends up, you know, I lose the audience with it. So it's like it ends up just being a really short bit, but it's still in there. You know, it's a funny punch and then you're out.
Tougher to start a comedy show or end a comedy show?
That's a good question. I think start because when you come on stage, they give you a couple minutes, you know, they're just excited to see you, which is nice. So they're really, really happy with you. But if you don't hit them with the first few jokes or you miss or something's a little off and your timing's a little off, you can lose them. It's more dangerous there. By the end of the show, you've kind of built up a, you know, a relationship with them and they kind of know, you know, they hopefully like you at that point. So it's a little easier, I think, to end. Although I've missed endings. Like I've done, you know, gone to my big closer and it didn't go. So I've got to go on and try to find another one. You know, it's like you try to get out on that last big laugh. And if it doesn't go, you got to find another.
Also, you like go into extra innings with this.
Yes. It's extra innings. It's not fun. And I'll torture them because I'll just stay as long as I can, you know, as long as necessary.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not leaving until you guys start laughing. So
yeah.
When you were younger, did you ever follow somebody who crushed? Like, do you remember that feeling and who it was?
Oh yeah. I mean, I remember seeing Sandler. I first met him at the comic strip in New York, and I just went up to him and. And he was really nice to me, and I watched him just crush. Ray was one of the first ones that I saw crush, too. You know, it was, I was hosting, you remember the Young Comedian special, the HBO Young Comedian special? They were doing, you know, auditions for that, and I got to host it. So I was on all night long emceeing, and I watched these guys come up, and I was trying to be seen myself to see if I got on, if I can get on. And all these comedians would come on, and they would just hammer. And then Ray came on, and I'm like, how is he going to follow this last guy? Whoever it was, just destroyed. And Ray's just very low key. So, but he did. He changed. He taught me a lesson that, like, he just settled into the audience. Like, he stayed at his pace, where I would have tried to amp it up and try to get him going, you know, and just be louder. He stayed at his pace, and the first joke didn't go as well, but then he got him, and he crushed, and he ended up getting that special. I didn't.
Norm McDonald had a unique delivery.
Crazy great. Yeah.
How would you describe that style? I mean, it's not traditional.
No. It was so unique, and that was just so, you know, he was so committed to it, and there was nowhere else to go. That's the thing. It wasn't like he went into a character and delivered a joke that way. That was him, and I loved it so much that, you know, he's, again, so different than anything you've seen or will see, probably. You know, it was just that style.
Yeah, he didn't care that if you cared. It was like,
right.
Hey, I care, and if you don't, that's okay. Like, move on with this. We're talking to Kevin James. He has his comedy special, premieres today on Amazon. It's called Irregardless. And his Owls Don't Walk tour begins February 3rd. Tickets available at kevinjames.com. Family-friendly stand-up on Amazon?
Yes.
How important was it to do it that way?
It was important for me 30 years ago. That's what happened. You know, it's like I used to curse like a crazy man with all my buddies. And, you know, but I realized that it was more out of laziness. Like, I didn't want to change my set if I ever got the Tonight Show or if I got a TV spot. I just started saying, I got to write clean. I don't want to have to change my material. So I don't do any like political stuff or current events. Like, I didn't want to write stuff that I'm going to lose it after it's done. So it's like, to build a universal act for me was like, it was important, and it just kind of settled in that way, you know, and I just, you know, I try to write that way. I don't think about it like, oh, I got to write clean now, but it just happens that way. And, you know, it can be challenging sometimes, but it works out.
Recap your year as a New York Jet fan.
Oh my gosh. It's just getting more and more depressing because I'm saying the same thing every year. You know, it's, you know,
and
you,
I didn't lead with this, Kevin. You know, I waited till the very end.
Oh, I know. I, by the way, I was there opening night, you know, for
Rogers.
Yes. And I didn't make it into the stadium before he got. I was in the parking lot walking in and it was over. You just heard this massive, you know, the energy just left the stadium. And I was like, you knew something was wrong. And you're like, whoa, what was that? And of course, we find out, I think it was a four plays in or something.
Yeah.
And it just, I mean, it felt like it would felt across the whole NFL. I mean, everybody, you know, it was an exciting thing to go for, you know, to root for and to see how it's going to turn out, whether you're a Jet fan or not. And when that was taken away, it just, I don't know.
Would you have given up one of your healthy Achilles to keep Rodgers in their quarterback?
Oh, yeah. Like, was it like a kidney thing? Yeah. Yes. What am I doing? You know,
you're not using your Achilles.
No, I haven't used it in years.
Okay.
You can have both, by the way.
We have an undercover skit idea. Paulie?
Okay, so, you know, King of Queens, we all know the role you played on King of Queens. What if you went as a mean-spirited UPS driver undercover, where it's clearly it's you, but you're not the nice guy from CBS. You're not the nice UPS driver. Mm. And see if people figure it out and their reaction as they confuse you as the celebrity to just a UPS driver.
Okay.
Hilarity would ensue.
That's the elevator pitch there from Paulie, my producer.
Yeah.
By the way, I couldn't be more confused myself right now.
That's part of it. You play an undercover UPS driver, basically.
I'm an undercover. Okay.
But people may recognize you as your role from King of Queens.
Right. But I'm not that guy.
No. More mean-spirited. Because you're kind of look tough right now with the bald and the
right.
Goatee.
Yeah. With a little bit more edgy, right?
Yes.
I got to smile more.
Yeah. Is that what your wife says?
Yes, all the time.
Smile.
She's like, what are you doing? Yeah, it is a little bit. I don't realize that. Without the hair, you'd look a little like you're angry.
Yeah, there's a wrestler feel to you.
Yeah, a Big Show kind of. Like, yes.
And you played a wrestler before.
Well, yeah, a fight, MMA fighter.
Oh,
I didn't play.
Okay.
But yes.
Wrestle.
Yeah.
You wrestled in high school.
I wrestled 1 year in high school. I wrestled against Mick Foley, you know. Mick Foley was on, it went to my high school and my college, by the way. But he, I was a running back in high school. And our team needed a heavyweight. So they brought me in. I'd never wrestled before. I was a strong kid. So I had like a double leg takedown. That's all I had. So if I could take you down and squeeze you, you know, I would win a lot of matches. But if you knew anything about wrestling, you could beat me easily. And I remember one match, it came down to that because I think Mick was hurt or I don't know what it was. They needed me. And it was a big match that was going back and forth. And when you're a heavyweight, you wrestle last. So it was an away game or away match. And I was going against this big kid. And I remember I was so panicked because everybody like turned to me. And it was one of those like in a sports movie where it's just everybody looked at me and it was like, you're in. And it was like Vision Quest, you know, I take the head, you know, you put the headset on, you get in there. I put my foot on the line and they're like, go. And I double legged him. And I went back on him and then he rolled me immediately. And he was so big, I couldn't breathe. I was suffocating under him and I was fighting like crazy. And he ended up pinning me and we lost. And it was the worst. I just remember the bus ride home. Two things. I remember everybody being quiet and probably hating me. And I remember number two, I smelt just like that guy. So I had the smell and a quiet ride home.
You didn't mind being called a heavyweight. I always wondered about that. Hey, you're the heavyweight.
No, I was in good shape. Like, I liked it because most heavyweights were back then. I wasn't ripped, but I was in good shape. I was like 200 pounds maybe or 195 or whatever. But I was like, you know, you'd go against these guys that were just, you know, grass-fed, big guys.
But luckily, you've gotten over that embarrassing moment that you had.
Just now. Yeah.
Have fun with Kelly Clarkson. And good luck with the special. Irregardless, premieres today on Amazon. Family friendly. And Owls Don't Walk tour begins February 3rd. Tickets available. KevinJames.com. Thank
EP,
you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Hi, buddy.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Kevin James. I think we've been in like five movies together.
Like Redford and Newman, you two.
Well, not exactly that. Oh. We were in a Now Pronounced Shoot, Chuck and Larry. I was in Grown Ups 1 and 2. I was in Hubie Halloween. And I think there's one other one that we were in together. And we were in a few scenes together. But is there another one that you see, Paulie, on his IMDb that I might have been in since I've been in, I think, 20 of Sandler movies?
I mean, technically, we've all been in a scene with Kevin.
Oh, Pixel.
Pixels, up at the podium.
Yes. We were in that movie as well, up in Toronto.
Like Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks, you two.
Not exactly. Oh. Not exactly. There's the scene in I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, where Sandler and Kevin James are, firefighting partners, and they're trying to get benefits, and then they appear to be married, and... So the scene, I'm supposed to be in Brooklyn, and we just get ready to start shooting my scene with Sandler and Kevin James. And Sandler goes, Danny, how about a Brooklyn accent? Right as we're ready to start shooting. And I go, come on. And then Kevin James goes, come on, you call yourself an actor? You don't have a Brooklyn accent? And I go, you could have told me this before. I did Blended with Sandler and Drew Barrymore. I get there, and my character's got a Greek name, last name. And Sandler goes, as I deliver my lines, in front of everybody, Drew Barrymore, they're all, you know, watching this. And he goes, Danny, how about a Greek accent? I go, Sandman, you're just telling me. He goes, your last name is Greek. I said, but that doesn't mean that I speak Greek. And then he said, all right, give it a try. So I delivered my lines in what I thought was a Greek accent. It didn't make the movie.
Danny.
So then there was Zohan. He's a Sandler movie. What's the official title of Zohan? Fear.
Don't
mess with the Zohan. And Emmanuel Shrieky's in the movie. And what? Sandman knew that, hey, you know, if you can get me into that movie, that'd be nice. Just to say hello to Emmanuel Shrieky, who was Sloan in Entourage. So there's a role that Rob Schneider got, and that's the cab driver. Well, Sandler goes, Danny, can you do a Middle Eastern accent? And I said, no. And I'm not doing a Middle Eastern accent. So if you see the movie, Rob Schneider's the cab driver, and he had offered me that opportunity. Hey, you got a Brooklyn accent? You got a Greek accent? How about Middle East? No. How about Midwest from Cincinnati? That's all I got. All right. Home team, I was in that one too with Kevin James.
You were.
Okay. Yeah. That's where he plays, plays Sean Payton. Yeah. But I play myself in that, so that doesn't really count. That's not acting. All right, let me take a break. Phone calls coming up. Back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Tyler says he's getting all kinds of phone calls that people want to rate our looks. You got to have a sense of humor to work on this program.
Robert emailed and said, this rating is like driving. Everyone thinks they're above average.
Yeah.
All right. That's fair. Melinda wrote in, Dan, she's got you as a 10. Ask women. Dan is hot.
Oh.
50% is the voice.
Yeah.
She also rated Todd as a 2. Sorry, Todd.
Wow.
50% of that is also the voice. No, she didn't. She didn't say that.
Damn. Okay, but you know that Fritzy is going to have a terrible day the rest of the day.
I'm very sensitive.
Okay.
And he's got to go home, too, and be like, you're not that much hotter than me.
No.
That's what he's going to say to his wife. That's what he's thinking.
No, I'm actually going to be staring at myself in the mirror for hours.
You're going to go to your wife and you're going to go, what would you rate me, honey?
Because if you look at Todd's comments from before, he wasn't upset that like people were like, wow, your wife is really good looking. It was that she was so much better looking than him. And he's like, I'm not that bad looking. Yeah. I'm not that, what the hell? She's not that much hotter than me.
Yeah, I made it about me for a change.
And this is the wrong guest to have on right after this.
Oh, this guy?
Yeah. Mark Sanchez joining us on the program. Sure. Yeah. Mark, how would you rate yourself?
I'm obviously not Big E, wherever he's from. My man, who said a truckload of it?
Yeah. That's the truck driver from Indiana. Yeah, one of our callers.
Dude, so. I'm obviously not Big E.
No, no, who is?
Yeah. I don't know, but this is really funny, and I feel bad for Fritzy, man.
No, don't.
I got a 5 and a 2. Yeah. These are some of the numbers we're throwing around.
Yeah.
Add them together, big guy.
Yeah, that's
Add
right.
Together.
There you go. Mark's got my back.
All right. So Mark Sanchez, Fox NFL analyst, former NFL USC quarterback here. All right. We asked this question yesterday. Will Josh Allen win a Super Bowl in his career?
Yes. I absolutely think so. I think I saw the whole debate yesterday with Orlovsky, with Ryan Clark, with Rex. I saw it with Shannon and Gimenez and all these guys. And this narrative that's coming out, like Josh didn't play well enough yesterday or Sunday to win. I can't subscribe to that. I just can't. I think he played well enough to win. Look at, you know, I thought Ryan Clark made a really good point about when you go get that gold jacket and when you give your acceptance speech, whatever, like the person presenting you doesn't have to say much. But everybody in the crowd, when they look at Tom Brady, is going to remember the Julian Edelman catch, some big kicks by Vinatieri, some amazing throws by Tom Brady. Amazing reads, amazing deliveries, diving catches by Gronkowski, defensive stops and interceptions that put him in a good place. And he took advantage of it. Yes, he's the trigger man. Yes, he's the guy. And he's going to get all the blame and all the praise, and that's the way it goes. But this notion that Josh didn't play well enough, that's just crazy to me. I mean, he played well enough to win twice now and got let down by the rest of the team. And he wore it, just wore it on the chin, no problem. And he wore it on the chin early in the year when he wasn't taking care of the football. And people said, oh, he's trying to be Superman. He needs to just chill and run the system and then pick your spots to make your big plays. Well, that's what he did. And now he didn't play well enough. So that I just don't like the double standard there. And then somebody made the point about, you know, Patrick Mahomes. We wouldn't be saying this about Patrick. We'd be saying he didn't play well. That's not true. We said his guys have been dropping the ball all year. So that one's I have a hard time stomaching that. I think he needs a little help. He's got a guy walked into his lap. His left tackle who's battling in the game, he gets walked into his lap, affects the throw. Three huge drop passes. And how about Cooks? He makes up for the drop to Cook that's a walk-in touchdown on the halfback angle before halftime, so he runs it in himself. Like, don't tell me Josh didn't play well. Come on, man. That's crazy. I don't know. I think he's a heck of a player. I think he's going to be just fine. They just – in those positions, I mean, they were decimated at linebacker. Their defense, Kansas City walked the ball up. They had five third downs, Dan. Five third downs? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's how well they were moving the ball on first and second down. You don't even need third down. That's a quarterback's dream. That is like, it's easy. I don't know. That's wild to me. Against a really good defense, so I don't know.
Help me understand the drama with the Cowboys, with C.D. Lamb. Oof. And Dak Prescott and relatives are now involved in this. That it feels like CD's mom criticizing Dak and Dak's brother criticizing CD. And how do you bring that, you know, some closure? So you already have enough drama because you played for the Cowboys. But that's bad.
That was going to be my first point. So that goes. Ooh, man, it's not inherently good or bad, this spotlight that comes with being a Cowboy and wearing the star, okay, and being the quarterback there. Ask Tony Romo. But it's like fire. Fire isn't inherently good or bad. It can warm you, it can cook your food, and it can burn down your whole damn village. So how do you use this fire? How do you use this spotlight? How do you how do you take advantage of it, and how do you handle the negative parts of it and create barriers or safety measures so that you don't get burned by this white hot spotlight? Well, the family on Twitter, which is the, you know, bathroom wall of the internet, anybody can say anything, you know, like, come on, for a good time, call Big E and then put his phone number in there. You know what I mean? Like, you can put anything on there. That's ridiculous. So now that the families are involved, it's just taking this to like this other level of, I mean, do we need to all sit down in the living room and not know why they're there? And then somebody walks in and is like, we're all here because we love each other.
Yeah,
like,
but Kevin Burkhardt said there was something that was tangible. There was tension going on in that game between these two.
You could see it on TV. It was like Dak had to force him the ball later in the game and they got off to a weird start. Listen, I've been there where you're just off with a player and had nothing to do with off the field stuff, but just you're off. He went to 10 yards. I thought he was going to be at 9, you know, based on the leverage or coverage or whatever. I thought he was going to break at this route or whatever, this depth or this move or that showed me this. And we just kind of are off. And I'd literally go to the coordinator and say, hey, just hand him the ball, snap him the ball, give him, put in the reverse to him, whatever, throw him just a quick ball just to get back in rhythm. You know what I mean? Let's just get on the same page and then we'll figure out the rest of it. and put one good positive deposit in the bank. It really was tangible, palpable through the TV. So I can only imagine what it felt like at the game.
Yeah.
But it just looked off. And now you got family members like perpetuating this thing. It's just, I don't understand that. I know. And the point is, the good thing is the family cares, right? They're one, the family's around. Two, they care. So like, let's say something positive about it. But three, okay, you got to understand what these comments mean to other people and how, like, it's hard enough to win a game. It's hard enough to convert a third down to get a scoring drive orchestrated. But now you're going to, you know, throw shade at the guy trying to give your kid the ball, or you're like, it just doesn't help anybody. And it's really too bad. You know, it's a good thing that these mediums and forms of media like exist for people to get their talent out there and opinions out there, and there's some good stuff you can get from it, but also there's some negative that comes with it too, and it's really too bad for that team to even have to like, how do you even start talking about that? All I want to do is, we just want to go win games, you know, that stuff. I don't got time for that.
If you're Kansas City, can you try to make Lamar Jackson either a passer or a runner? Like, can you your goal is to make him one-dimensional, I'm guessing, but it doesn't really work. Yeah. But what would be your mindset, Kansas City's defense approach?
He's gotten better as a passer, which is the problem for defenses. And even since his MVP year, was much more of the scrambling, the wild plays, it looks like a Madden football game because he's so dang talented. Now, he's starting, especially in that second half last week, he's starting to get to a place where people never knew he could get to, meaning drop back, 10 to 15 times a game, go through your first couple reads and get to 3, 4, and 5 with a quick little pocket movement. That's the NFL. You know what I mean? Good teams, good defenses will force you to do that. So in my opinion, the best you can, keep the clamps on the run game, and he's going to get a couple. Right, you're playing Jordan, you're playing LeBron, you're playing Kobe. They're going to get some. You got to do your best to just mitigate that and try and take away one of his best targets. Try and force Mark Andrews out of the game. You know, control Zay Flowers. Pick one of them and make somebody else beat you, and then that's going to be your formula to win. Essentially, if they do these things, if he drops back 15 times and gets to his third read, 12 of those times and completes those balls on our defense, he deserves to win the game. And that's what Chris Jones, I need a play. I need one play. You know what I mean? These guys up front, Tranquil, who I love. McDuffie, come on now. This is your game. The second year, dude, I love. He was an all-pro as a nickel. Are you kidding me? This McDuffie kid is a baller, man. I love him. One of those guys, you got to make the game-changing play without doing anything outside of our system. One's going to come your way. You got to capitalize on it. And that's what I would try and do. Force him to drop back 15 times, convert these third downs, go on long drives, converting third downs on those multiple third downs on those drives with his arm, and see if he can do it. And if he can do it, he deserves a win.
If the Bears called you and asked you what to do with the number one overall pick.
Oh, boy. You know what? We're going to have to do this on. I need to go watch it. And here's the other thing. I mean, you see the USC stuff in my deal. Like, that's, I love my school. I love.
Everything
about it.
Do you want to wait a month?
Yeah, because I got to go really grind on these guys. I got to figure out like I got to go grind on their film and figure out who I would legitimately take. No.
But you did no pause. Bias. You did pause. You did pause a while there. So what makes you nervous about Caleb Williams?
No, I just, because I don't want to say, yes, I would go Caleb Williams, or I would go Drake May, or I would go anybody without really watching. I've been to two of Caleb Williams' games. They were against San Jose State and maybe Nevada. So it's not a real good.
Would you move on from Justin Fields? Would you move on from Justin Fields?
Once again, formula to win. Could I come up with a formula for him to win? Heck yes. It's going to be a lot more design runs. It's going to be a little more of the earlier Lamar Jackson stuff until I can get him to a place where he's going to be one of those, not necessarily, he's never going to be a pure dropback passer. That's not a game, because you're kind of taking away his stinger if you do that to him. I think you can get them to a place and in a system that has the proper structure to where, look at Kyler Murray towards the end of the season. He's not running nearly as much. Lamar Jackson, not running nearly as much. You know, there's players that you can teach and mold. Look at Mahomes even. I mean, that's a structured system, and he learned from a dropback guy in Alex Smith his first year and saw how it happens. Now, when it's time to move around, I mean, there's nobody better, and you let him use his instincts and go beat the other team, and you're not necessarily beating scheme at that point. You're beating players. It's a player beating a player, not defeating a scheme. The scheme was right. The defense had you nailed down. You were done. There was nowhere to go, but you make a play, and that's where you kind of get over the hump with Justin and just keep continuing to groom him. But once again, that is arguably, and I played in New York, that might be just tough, if not tougher, to play there. That is a rough media market, man. They are on you. I mean, it is, at least New York, you get a little bit of deflection with Giants and Jets. You got two teams there that can take a little bit of the blow for you, but Chicago, man, it's, and they're starving for a winning team right now. So it's, that's a tough place, but yes, in a month I will have a full breakdown on the QBs for you.
All right. Quickly before we say goodbye, how does this weekend play out?
As much as I want the Lions to win, just because of the story, like the memes about this game. Have you seen the Eminem rolling up in 8 Mile, and that's Jared Goff rolling up to the game with the Lions? Like, that one killed me. That one was so funny to me. I just, you know, that's the feel good story. They're going on the road. Like, that is a tough group. And Dan Campbell said, this is what the team's going to be. And everybody kind of laughed at him and wrote him off, and they're in a smaller market. So whatever. I mean, can you imagine those guys in the Super Bowl? That place would not. I mean, the whole city of Las Vegas is going to be all of Detroit.
Like, yep.
So that, I just don't know if they can do it there. I think the 49ers, the big thing for the Niners, they got to pressure Goff, man. Where are these guys up front? The Bosas, the Armsteads, the
True.
Hargraves. You picked up Randy Gregory. You picked up Chase Young. I mean, that is a star-studded cast there. Like, I need some production out of those guys. I need at least three from you guys, right? Like, and a couple tip balls. Eric Armstead's like a redwood tree, man. He's massive. So that guy's got to affect the game. They got to shut down Gibbs. I think San Fran has the advantage. And then, you know, this is the year. This is the year the Bills should have caught KC. This is the year that Lamar Jackson's got to handle his business at home. Once again, he played an excellent second half. And you could tell he took over that thing. So yeah. I could see San Fran and Baltimore handling this thing. You never want to bet against Mahomes, and I might regret it. But if I got to pick, I'll go San Fran, Baltimore.
Great to talk to you. We'll have you back in a month, and then you could tell us what you think Chicago should do.
Tell you who I'm drafting.
All right,
love it.
All right. That's Mark Sanchez, Fox NFL analyst, former NFL and USC quarterback. We'll take a break. Last call for phone calls. What's in store for tomorrow? And how hot do you think we are after this?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.